Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer.
And I'm Dori Shafrir.
And we are not experts.
No, but we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And this is a mini episode where we hear from you, we share your comments and your thoughts, and we answer your questions to the best of our ability.
And please remember, we're not experts, we're podcast hosts, and we always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a medical and or mental health professional as needed.
Indeed, we do. And if you would like to reach us, you can call or text us or leave us a voicemail. We're not going to pick up the phone. 781-591-0390. You can email us or send us a voice memo at forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And just a few reminders, you can visit our website, forever35podcast.com, for links to everything we mention on the show. Please do follow us on Twitter at Forever35Pod, on Instagram at Forever35Podcast, and join the Forever 35 Facebook group, where the password is serums. And please do sign up for the Forever 35 newsletter at Forever35Podcast.com/newsletter. It goes out twice a month, first and third Thursdays of every month. Missive in your inbox.
I'm very excited about the product rec I shared in the newsletter because I have not talked about it, I don't think, on the podcast.
Yeah. So if you want to know what that is, you're going to have to subscribe.
What a cliffhanger.
What a cliffhanger. Wow.
Okay. Dori, you have a big announcement.
Kate, I do. I do. So
share the news. I'm going to take a sip of my coffee and sit back and relax as you blow my mind right now.
So I've been reading a book. A book that perhaps comes as a surprise to you, Kate Spencer, although not as much of a surprise as I might have thought.
Yeah, I'm pleasantly surprised, I will say.
I am reading the Bridgerton books.
Oh, yes.
And I'm enjoying them.
How far along are you in the series?
So I got the first three out of the library because they came in like one book.
Oh, nice. Okay.
But it's one of those skip the line loans, so I only have it for a week.
Anthony and I were just talking about the like stress of the skip your line loan on the Libby library app. It's very intense.
Very stressful because then if you don't finish, like you don't get it back for like 3 months.
No, I mean, the secret trick is to put your Kindle in airplane mode.
Yes. You know, I might have to do that actually.
Yeah, you didn't hear it from me, but that's what you got to do.
I'm about halfway through the second book. So I finished the first book. The first book, which is essentially the first season of Bridgerton on Netflix. And then the second book is what I understand will be the second season. Because each book follows a different member of the Bridgerton family.
Right. And I'm looking right now. I haven't read Bridgerton, which is a little bit out of character for me. It's a very famous series by Julia Quinn, who's like an iconic romance author. And I didn't realize this, but are the couple in book two Anthony and Kate?
Yes. Oh, yes.
It's me and my husband. Look at that. What a snack.
Yeah.
So can I ask you a question?
Yes.
You do like reading historical fiction, but you don't normally gravitate towards romance. So what?
Correct.
What was the hook here? What drew you in?
I think it was the fact that I had watched the Netflix series and enjoyed it and kind of knew the story and knew the characters, even though the book is essentially the same story as the TV show, but the TV show has more characters that they focus on. Like a lot of the minor characters in the book are more prominent in the television show. And, you know, I as you say, I like historical fiction. And I also, you know, I just read that book Empire of Pain, the book about, you know, the opioid epidemic and the Sackler family. And I was like, I really just need something like light and enjoyable, not reading about the opioid epidemic and this like horrible, horrible family. So when I saw that the first three Bridgerton books had come up on the Libby app, I was like, let me just check these out literally. So they're very enjoyable. Look, they're not perfect. I can't really talk about this without giving too many spoilers away, but let's just say there's some very similar plot devices in both books, but you know, whatever. But I'm enjoying the characters. She's a very good storyteller. They're very sexy. Mm. And yeah, it's just what I needed. I really needed a palate cleanser.
I mean, you literally read a book called Empire of Pain.
Yes.
That's
yes.
crazy.
So this is a very welcome diversion. I would say if you are not a regular romance reader, I would like, there's like a degree of having to sort of suspend your disbelief a little bit.
Okay.
Going in the sense that, like, most romances have a happily ever after, right? And you, like, know that going in.
Yes,
and
exactly.
That is the point. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're more of, like, a mystery reader, you know that the case will be solved. Like, that is the happily ever after of a mystery. But you don't know who the culprit is. Whereas in a romance, it's, like, pretty obvious the couple that's going to get together very quickly. So I think as long as you are kind of okay with that and okay with some of the sort of like purple prose of the sex scenes, especially like historical romance sex scenes, there's a lot of like discussion of like his throbbing manhood and like things like that.
I mean, that's how the bookstore The Ripped Bodice got its name, right? Like that's a classic trope.
But I'm enjoying it. And the second book is an Enemies to Lovers, which I do find very enjoyable. I am enjoying the book very much. So yeah, so that is my unexpected recommendation.
I'm happy for you. I love this. This is like makes me giddy.
I'm surprised you haven't read them. I feel like you would like them.
Well, I know. You know what? I actually took them out of the library and then they lapsed. And so I need to do it. I'm still kind of getting into historical romance. I've always really been a contemporary romance reader.
Yes.
I've just kind of started learning about the world and really dipping a toe. Into historical.
I mean, I feel like I could get down with historical romance, like in a big way.
Oh, there's some fantastic historical author. I mean, there's so many. It's like it's a world I really don't know too much about. I'm just peering in through the window.
Poldark is essentially a historical romance. It's not quite as sexy, but it's essentially like a family saga historical romance.
I'm that sounds, I haven't read that yet.
I love that shit. Anyway, before I ask you how you are, I just want to remind everyone about ye old pre-order incentive. Because something I forgot to mention on the last episode is you have to get your, you have to like register before by June 1st in order
for our Zoom party. That
yes,
we're doing.
To participate in the Zoom of the century, you must register by June 1st. And again, you can do that on my website, dory-shafrir.com. So we'd really hope to see a lot of you there. And I'm very excited. Okay. Anyway, Kate.
Yes, Dory.
You've been doing some scheduling.
I have. I mentioned briefly that I had taken a kind of calendar planning work sprint session through our friends at the Jane Club. And it was interesting. It was just basically 30 minutes where I committed to focusing on organizing my calendar for the week and looking at my to-do list. And I use Google Calendar. And part of the way I am, which as listeners might know, is a world of discovery as I kind of unlayer this diagnosis of ADHD that I'm kind of receiving in the moment. So I always have like 50 different attempted systems to try to stay organized, and I'm never organized, and it gives me a lot of anxiety and shame, yada, yada. So I did sit down and I really went into great detail on my Google Calendar, and some of it is really working for me and some of it isn't, but it's been helpful to just kind of, it was really helpful just to even spend like 30 minutes maximizing all the tools at my service with Google Calendar and making my calendar and to-do list a little more manageable. Like I put all my to-dos in tasks and dated them so I knew when I needed to do them. Like I laid out everything I need to do for Forever 35 this week, put it on the day that I do it. Even though it's stuff in my brain that I know I do every week, I just was like, actually, I need to add something. And then I moved all my kids' stuff into a new calendar. So that was color coordinated. And I also filled in my free time. So when there was nothing happening, I kind of put like, I'll do this during this time. Mm-hmm. For example, today from 1:30 to 3:30, I'm going to work on book revisions. But I've kind of haven't really, like, even though I put that in and I'm getting alerts, I haven't been great about sticking with that kind of like committing to the free time sections of my calendar. But I don't know. It is helpful, I do think, at the start of the week to mentally go in and dump and then organize. So I might try this again next week because, you know, I'm constantly looking for a system.
Yeah.
With the theory that the system is going to relieve stress and thus enhance my mental health and well-being. And thus 'tis my self-care.
But I still, Kate, I applaud you for this.
Thank you.
Because I know how much you've struggled with scheduling and calendars and trying to come up with a system. And I have to say, I really do think it is like admirable that you kind of continue to try to figure out something that is going to work for you.
She keeps plugging away.
I mean, I tried this. I remember trying this. I don't know when. It must have been a few years ago. Kind of doing the thing where like you basically schedule down to like every 15 minutes of your day.
That's what I did. Yes, totally.
Yeah. I couldn't stick to it. But I need something because I don't know. I feel like my time management has gone out the window. It's also connected. Sorry, now I'm turning this into all about me, but anyway,
okay, Dory.
I feel like I've gotten into that pattern again of taking on too much.
Yeah, it's
and
that
not
is
having
really hard.
Enough time to do everything. And I think what I'm also wrestling with is, you know, now that I have a child, my allocation of time has changed. And so work, an amount of work that I might have been able to complete with no problem, like 4 years ago, is just not doable now because I don't have as many hours in the day in which to work. So I'm kind of like figuring that out.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe I need to try this too.
I can show you. I mean, I can show you kind of how what my calendar looks like. I can take a picture.
Well, I have, don't forget, I have access to your calendar.
You do, but does it say all the details?
Or no, it just says busy.
Busy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think the color coordination actually really helps. Like I had all my kids' stuff in my own calendar, but I think dividing, like putting that into.
So you would have like a podcast calendar, a writing calendar.
I did not divide writing and podcast yet because you and I mean, this is like really in the weeds, but you and I have a shared Google calendar that has a lot of our podcast appointments.
Yes.
So
that is already separate.
Yes, but for example, yesterday I did like 12-1 prep for Margaret Cho interview, and then we had our interview. Like I did insert podcast work into my main kind of working Google calendar, but then I do have a calendar with my kids' appointments, and then I also made a meal calendar so that I can easily just kind of turn off and on what we're eating for the night.
I mean, well, it's funny you say this because I'm looking at all the calendars that I have created. I have like my main Dory calendar. I have a calendar called Dory Half Marathon Training, which must be from like 10 years ago. I have a meals calendar because I think at some point I was like, I'm going to plan our meals. I have a reminders calendar. Never use it.
Uh-huh.
I have a calendar for Startup, which was my novel that came out 4 years ago. I have a tasks calendar, which like, how is that really different from reminders? Not sure.
It's different, Dory. It's different.
Okay. And then I have a separate writing calendar. I don't use any of these.
So I would go through and delete. I actually did this. I had calendars from my job at VH1 that were probably 12 years old, still in my Google
account. Oh my God.
So I went through and deleted them. So now I have mine and then the other people's calendars. I access yours, my husband's, and like holidays in America. And I will tell you the difference between reminders and tasks is kind of how they show up in the calendar. So it does help. Like tasks are little check marks, and you can schedule them all. And then the reminder is a little finger with a bow on it. So you're right. Like you could clump them all at the same thing. But for me, it is helpful just visually seeing a difference.
Got it. Okay. I mean, if you don't mind, I would like to see your calendar.
Oh my God. Are you kidding? I would love it. Like I put in wake up time. I put in lights out. I put in reading at 10 p.m. just so like, just so I could mentally do
it.
I
need
to
see this.
I'll send you a picture. Last night I did not read at 10 p.m. and do lights out at 10:30, but it's like intention setting inside of a calendar. I don't know.
Whoa.
Okay, this has been a very long calendar discussion. We definitely need to take a pause.
Yes, let's take a pause.
Before we do, can I just shout out that I finally bought the Biore sunscreen and I tried it for the first time today.
How do you like
it? Posted. Oh, it was like silky smooth going on my face.
I know, it's so nice.
Anyway, more on that in the coming weeks, but
all right, we'll be right back.
SPF 50 right now. Okay, sorry, bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And It's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave, it's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30+. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like, zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, we're back. We are going to really get into it with weddings here.
Yeah, to just refresh our memories, we had a listener who did not want to have a large, quote unquote, traditional wedding, but was feeling pressure from family and friends.
Yes.
So we received lots of really great feedback. Here is an email that one listener shared with us. Hi, Kat and Dor. I'm writing to respond to the listener who wrote in about not wanting the big traditional wedding, and I want them to know that they can and absolutely should stick to their guns on this. Be empowered to do what is right for you and your fiancé. Hubby and I just celebrated our second wedding anniversary, the day after Henry's second birthday. This is a dedicated listener. So we cleared the COVID disruptions of 2020. However, even before the pandemic made small weddings necessary, I never wanted to do the big wedding either. And if we'd had it completely our way, we would have eloped. But my husband and I are both only children, and it didn't feel right to exclude our parents. We did almost exactly what Kate suggested. We had a small, simple ceremony with our parents and a handful of our closest friends. 13 people altogether, including us, the minister, and our photographer. No music, no bridesmaids or groomsmen, just us, our people, an officiant, and an altar. After that, we had dinner at a nice local restaurant, cut our two-tiered wedding cheesecake, and then went to our favorite bar to meet up with people who didn't come to the ceremony. There were a few people who were upset to not be included, but those that mattered didn't mind. Or if they did, they have since gotten over it. We saved so much money. And more importantly, we were able to do exactly what we wanted on the day. I was a, quote, older bride by Southern standards when I got married, almost 32, ye gads. And so many of the weddings I'd been a part of up until that point included the kind of stress I absolutely did not want on my own wedding day. The day was perfect for us, and I wish that for you on your day, fellow listener, whatever that looks like for y'all. One final thought. Hubby's a clinical mental health counselor and sitting on the couch with me as I write this response. He recommended checking out Nedra Tawab's Instagram, at Nedra Tawab. She is a therapist and boundary expert who has specific insight on boundary setting with parents. So for you and any others who'd like some guidance in this regard, go forth and set some healthy boundaries. Sending y'all wishes for a beautiful day and especially a life together full of love and laughter.
Hmm.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it is feeling empowered to do exactly what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, so often we're kind of led to be feel like we're selfish for doing what to do or like not considering other people. And I do think there needs to be, I don't know, like we can be empowered to do what we want and not have to apologize or answer to anyone about that.
Yeah.
Food for thought. Also, yeah. This boundary expert is amazing. There's someone that I follow on Instagram as well.
I think, and we've talked about this when people have written in before, but I think people confuse the offer of financial help with needing to, like, financial help often comes with strings attached.
Mm, Dory, holy smokes. Yeah, it does.
And I think people don't realize that they can refuse that financial help.
Yeah.
And I think they can also, if they don't want to refuse the financial help, I think they can also say something to the effect of, I'm so grateful that you are offering to pay for a part of our wedding, but we are going to have the wedding that we want to have. And, you know, if you don't want to support us financially because of that, then that's fine. But like, you don't get to dictate exactly what happens at our wedding, which I think is tough because I think, especially in our society, we like equate money with power. And so people think that if they're paying for it, they have, quote unquote, the right to dictate exactly what happens and who gets invited. And like, I get that perspective. I don't know. I'm kind of rambling and maybe contradicting myself, but I think money just like makes things complicated.
I think that's a really interesting observation. Dory, you are welcome. Okay, here is what one listener said. Another listener said, hello, COVID bride here responding to the bride who doesn't want a big to-do about their wedding. I did want a big wedding, but you know, COVID. My husband and I ended up finding a VRBO, that's a vacation rental, close to us that had a lovely backyard and invited our immediate fam and wedding party and had the most magical, intimate backyard wedding. We also had the company Wedfully help us out and live stream our wedding so that everyone would be able to join. That way, no one missed out. It might just be your option out if you don't want the wedding your family wants. That way, everyone is included and no one gets hurt about it. But no big wedding is had. Interesting. Trick everybody into thinking you're having a big wedding, but don't have a big wedding. I mean, yeah, especially right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, but also, you know, I wonder if after or if from this experience of COVID where we've had to really switch to doing things remotely, if more people will just have these streams so that like not everyone feels pressure to travel for weddings and spend so much money trying to get to someone's wedding. You know, like there are still so many ways we can participate virtually thanks to technology. And it is a big ask to have people travel for your wedding sometimes.
You know, it's I also think like sometimes we like overestimate the degree to which people will be quote unquote insulted if they're not invited to our weddings, especially if they're coming from far away. Like, for example, one of my cousins is getting married over Labor Day, and he and his fiance decided to have like a pretty small wedding at a restaurant. And my mom and my dad are invited. It's my mom's brother's son, but like the cousins aren't invited. And I was like, you know what? Thank you. Like, you just saved me from having to fly to New York over Labor Day, figure out what I was going to do with Henry. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Yes.
I like really appreciate the fact that I wasn't invited. So, I don't know, just food for thought.
Dory, why don't you read this next email?
Sure. Apparently, I have a lot of thoughts about weddings. I didn't know that I had.
You're the host of this podcast. I think it's good. Like, what would be worse if you had no thoughts?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Hey, friends. I had to pause the podcast, Mini Up 198, to weigh in about the couple that does not want a traditional wedding. I'm 100% with you both. Have the wedding you and your future spouse want. Traditions were changing prior to the pandemic, but COVID-19 has sped the rate of change and there is no going back. Depending on where you live, there are only a few requirements for a wedding: 2 consenting adults, a wedding license, and an officiant to sign the paperwork. The rest is up to you. For some disappointed families, there is a grief when what they've anticipated for their child, grandchildren, or nieces does not happen. It's real, and it helps to acknowledge that. Maybe your mother-in-law is disappointed not to bring in extended family. Have her use the funds to host a family reunion weekend. Maybe your dad wanted to walk you down the aisle. Maybe ask him to officiate the smaller ceremony. If family are still giving you any grief, that is well and truly their problem and a great way to practice boundary setting as a couple. Boundaries seem to be a big theme here.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that, I mean, and these are, family is often the people we have the hardest time setting boundaries with.
Indeed.
Right? Like,
yes.
These are boundaries that are like already tricky and icky and feel like, I should note that that email came from an actual wedding planner.
Oh, yes. I forgot to mention that.
Which is pretty cool. So if the wedding planner says it's okay.
Yeah. You have permission.
Yeah. We're fine. But yeah, I do think, you know, we should try to get that boundary expert on the podcast because... setting boundaries is miserable. It's really hard. It's not taught to most of us, right? Like,
no, because most of us are raised without boundaries.
by people who have no boundaries.
Yes. So it just gets perpetuated.
Yeah. So like at some point as an adult, you have to be like, oh, I have to learn this very hard skill.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So thank you. This is great advice. And, oh, this has been really a really interesting conversation. I'm really glad we've had it.
Me too. All right. Well, let's take another break. Okay. We have returned and we have a voicemail on a completely different topic.
Hey, guys. I called a couple of weeks ago looking for advice on how to fall asleep on my back. And I just wanted to let you know that I have done it. And the thing that really helped was getting a weighted blanket. So if anyone else is struggling with that, the weighted blanket, it's like 10 kilos on my chest, really helped. Now I can fall asleep on my back. And my back is much less sore now. Thanks. Bye.
You know, I had not heard about people using weighted blankets as a way to keep them on their backs, but of course that makes so much sense.
Yeah, you're essentially pinning yourself down.
Yeah, exactly.
10 kilos, according to Google, is 22 pounds. So that's a heavy blanket.
Yeah. Isn't there some, I don't have a weighted blanket, but isn't there some formula where you like take how much you weigh and then... The weighted blanket for your weight is supposed to be a certain percentage of your weight or something.
Oh, that's so interesting. I have never heard that. I got a weighted blanket secondhand from a friend who got it at Target. And I like it. It's very heavy. Like, it's like annoying to get out because you're like weightlifting to pull it out of the blanket bin.
So I just Googled this. Most experts advise choosing one that's roughly 10% of your body weight. So okay. If you're 150 pounds, you should buy a 15-pound blanket. So that's, I think that's roughly the the calculation there.
That's cool.
But of course, I think some people might prefer something heavier. Some people might prefer something lighter, of course, but that's supposed to be roughly a guide.
So you've never felt a weighted blanket before? You've never tucked under one?
No.
It's interesting. I've slept with mine and it's like a very, it's a weird feeling. Like it felt good and I can see how it helps with anxiety. But then also like there was a point where it's like, I want to move. But
right.
I couldn't, and it was stressful. So I need to maybe experiment with this again. But I'm
right, like,
love.
Do you feel claustrophobic?
Slightly.
Yeah.
But also it's the kind of thing like, you know, you could put it across your legs and leave, you know, I mean, I think it's a really interesting solution that this listener found to trying not to switch onto their side in the middle of the night.
I agree. All right.
All right.
We have one more voicemail.
Hi, Kate and Dory. This is a very belated response to Kate chatting about the A313 retinoid, retinol. I always confuse this to the vitamin A pomade. And I know Kate said she didn't have a great experience with it and was kind of, in my recollection, hesitant to say that because, you know, products are different for everyone. I did just want to pop in and say I have been using it. I haven't used retinols in my skincare routine ever and decided to give this a try because of the price point and kind of the cult following, I guess, and that it's now available in the U.S. I read a really great review on it on the Skincare Edit. She did a nice profile, really did her research on it. And one of the things she talked about was being absolutely adamant about, after washing your face, waiting for a full 30 minutes for your skin to dry before applying it. And I have done that. I've had no irritation. And again, just using it twice a week, really do feel like the next day skin is tighter and just kind of glowing. So for those who might be interested, I would at least check the article out. And again, no, it doesn't work for everyone, but because it is so affordable, I just wanted to give it a plug. All right. Hope you both are having a great week. Thanks so much. Bye.
Okay. So I had read the same thing, but I am an impatient person and I did not do the waiting.
Well, Kate, may I suggest something?
Yes, Dory.
Now that you're doing your very detailed calendaring, what if you put in wash face like half an hour before you would typically start your bedtime routine?
Oh, Dory, this is an interesting idea. This is an
right?
interesting
because,
idea.
Like, it's not about doing your bedtime routine at the same time and waiting an extra half hour, right? Like, I feel like it's better to push the face washing up by half an hour so then you can still stick to your regular bedtime routine, if you
right,
will.
Like I could just do face washing at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, and then like go about your business.
Around.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay. I want to try this product one more time. So why don't I follow the rules with it and see how it goes and report back?
I'm excited for you.
Okay. And I'll enter it. Also, I'll put it in my calendar so I know the night that I'm going to try it and I'll make
yes.
sure that I'm doing it at the right time. Great suggestion, Dory.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're so smart.
Oh, yes. Well,
what can you say?
Keep going. Well, this has been a pleasure. Mm. We really ran the gamut as usual.
When do we not? When do we talk about one thing and just one thing?
I would be so bored.
I would too.
Well, all right, everyone. We will talk to you all again quite soon.
Yes, we'll meet you back here.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, wait.
Oh,
one last thing. I want to wish my sister a happy birthday.
Oh.
Yeah, today's her birthday.
Happy birthday. Look at you, two Tauruses.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I think we've discussed this. There's a lot of Tauruses in my family.
We have. We have discussed this. But, like, your birthdays are really close together, like a week apart.
They're 6 days apart. And then my mom's is 5 days after me.
Oh, my God. gosh, wow, that's a lot of bull energy.
And my nephew and I share a birthday, and my son is also a Taurus.
Oh my God, Dory.
I know. It's a lot.
Well, happy birthday, Karen.
Yes, happy birthday, Karen. Okay, bye, everyone.
Bye.